This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It is so cool to see you, dude. Daniel, hanging out. We've got an amazing, amazing guest here. We have been just shooting the shit a little bit ahead of time, and this is already a lot of fun. Nigel MP is joining us, and I cannot wait to get into your story and for you to share your story with our audiences, man. So, but without any further ado, I'd like to first ask Daniel how he's doing, and then we're going to introduce our guest and just get right to this thing, man. Daniel, how are you?
Thank you. Thank you, Brendan. I'm doing pretty good. I'm always doing good. When I can talk with you, and I also had a chat with Nigel before, so I know it's going to be a good story. So yeah, guys, whenever you're ready.
Cannot wait. All right. Well, Nigel, I mean, our audiences may be familiar with you, but some may not. So do you mind just in your own words introducing yourself for those of there out there may not be familiar?
Okay, right. Well, it's a pleasure to be here with you guys. Basically, I'm from, a small country town out in the sticks, just sort of like about 30 miles north of London. I was born in 1968, so I'm coming up for 56 this year on 2nd of March.
13 days from now, I looked that up ahead of you being here. I was going to wish you a happy birthday. Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you. I was raised in not a very wealthy family, had a lot of dramas throughout my family life. I was basically, as a kid, I was like bullied throughout my education and everything. And I felt that I never fitted in with all the other kids at school and everything. Couldn't really make sense of what was going on, and I always had a feeling like, you know, even from sort of like a very young age, that we weren't alone in the universe and everything. I never really gave it much of a thought. One thing that, looking back on after all the events that I will tell have happened, I always used to remember that I wouldn't sleep without a light on, be that in my bedroom or in the hallway, landing hallway, because I always used to remember saying to my mum, there's something under my bed. Anyway, that's beside the point. Life moved on. I couldn't hold down jobs. As I say, I didn't fit in with other humans and everything, and I couldn't figure out why. Anyway, way down the line, back in 2014, it was pretty surreal how it happened, because it was late at night. I'd been watching a lot of the Ancient Aliens programs on TV with Giorgio, that guy. Anyway, it got to like about 11 p.m. at night, and I decided, right, I'm going to call it a night, make myself a hot drink, go out into the garden, have a smoke, because I wasn't allowed really to smoke inside the house, because it was a rented house. My partner had gone to bed, and our housemate was up in his room playing his World of Warcraft or whatever he was playing at the time. Which he spent most of his life doing, locked away in his room. Anyway, so I've gone into the kitchen, made my drink, opened the back door into the garden. Only had a small little square garden, but it was nice enough. You know, we had a little garden bench there. And so I've gone out, sat on the garden bench, had a little place to put me a cup of tea. And yeah, us Brits love our cups of tea. Anyway, so I'm sitting there, and our houses actually went down on a hillside. So they went from the top right down to the bottom of the hill to the adjoining road at the bottom. And I noticed there was this light. It was could have only been about 80 feet above the rooftop of this building at the end of the street. And I looked at it and I was like, well, it looks too low and too bright to be a star or a planet or anything like that, you know. And I'm sitting there trying to think out what it could be. And I was thinking, well, it definitely isn't a plane because it's, you know, there's no sound coming. In fact, there was no sound from anything. It was like every sound had stopped. There was no dogs barking, no cats fighting, no wind, no nothing. It was totally still. And there was no navigation lights coming from this object either. It was just like a great big white light. So I'm sitting there thinking, what the heck is this, you know? Anyway, I reached down, got my drink, took a sip, put the mug back down, looked back up again. And I'm thinking, did that just start moving? And by this time, I'm transfixed with this object. It was like something had bonded me to, like, looking at it. I couldn't look away. And I'm looking, and sure enough, this thing is slowly coming towards me, like head on towards me. And it gradually came closer and closer and closer till the point where it was literally right over my head. And I'm looking up at this. I couldn't make any detail of the object itself. All I could see was this very intense white light. Anyway, so I've literally stood up looking up at this thing, and I turned around and watched, observed the object as it tracked up the gardens towards the top of the street. And literally somebody had a big tree in their backyard, and it just vanished over the top of this tree and disappeared. And I'm left there with my jaw to the ground thinking, what the, you know, and that was it. And afterwards, I sort of like sat there, composed myself, drank the rest of my tea, had another smoke, thinking, did I imagine this? Did I really see this? It left me questioning everything. My whole outlook on life from that moment changed. It was like that. I was just thinking to myself, that was nothing man-made, you know? And anyway, after this happened, about 3 or 4 nights later, I was laying on the couch watching some TV, just chilling. And all of a sudden, I don't even recall like falling asleep or anything. One minute I'm laying on the couch, the next minute I'm seeing behind this like brushed aluminium looking table like they use in restaurants or dental surgeries or something like that. There was nothing on the table. To the left in front of me, to the left there was like what I can only describe as one of the stereotypical like greys, but it didn't look grey. It looked sort of more like a whitish grey. I don't know whether it was one of the short ones or whether the tall ones, whatever, because obviously thin down. And every detail I could observe in this room, there was no doorway. There was like a glow coming from the edge of the ceilings of this room, like a bioluminescent greeny sort of glow. Anyway, next thing I observed was from behind the grey, this 8 to 9 foot tall reptilian humanoid just appeared. And he walked from behind the grey, and I could make out every detail. It was like, if you know what bearded green iguana lizard looks like. It's got like dark and light scales, green scales. It looked just like that sort of, but it looked more like my profile picture on Facebook. It looked more like that, the facial features and everything. It had muscular body, going down to thick legs with clawed feet. And then as he walked from behind the grey, I noticed there was about a 3 to 4 foot long tail. And he stopped literally right in front of my face, turned around, looked at me and sort of like gave a sort of smile. And I felt like an energy go through from the head to foot, like a warm glow. It was like I wasn't afraid, I wasn't scared. And then in my mind, I was told, don't be afraid, we're not going to harm you. You are one of us. And then literally he raised to me like that. And then turned around, walked off and vanished. And literally, bearing in mind I was laying down on the couch, I was now bolt upright on the couch thinking to myself, exclaiming to myself, WTF, that was no dream.
So do you think that you were still in your room when this happened and that the room glowed, or that you transported somewhere else, either physically or your astral body?
I felt that I wasn't at home anymore.
And you don't know how you got there. You feel that you just fell asleep on the couch watching TV and then it just like you.
I don't even recall falling asleep. One minute I'm watching TV, next minute I wasn't there.
Yeah. That's so interesting. Do you associate missing time with this? Did you have any missing time with any of this?
I didn't actually. I wish I had now. I wish I had looked at the time, you know, when I was watching the TV and then, but. I didn't
you can remember what program was on when you remember watching it, and then what program was on.
I can't even remember now. I was just sort of like, you know, just chilling, watching the TV. I can't even remember what was on now. I mean, as I say, it's going back to like 2014 now. So,
yeah, but did it feel like a dream or did it feel real?
It felt real. It did not feel like a dream. As I say, I could make out every detail. It was like so vivid. You know, they say most people can't remember their dreams, but I've never really been one to dream.
On the same way, yeah.
You know.
So when it did happen, it was pretty noticeable, and that's why you couldn't confuse it with a dream you feel.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
I mean, I have had. I've had nightmares before, but I've never really, you know, when I was very young, I had nightmares, but I've never really had positive dreams up until that point.
Maybe they haven't been dreams and they haven't been positive, and that's why. You know, let me ask you this. What happened around 2014 with you outside of this? Were you just in a weird state? Did you lose somebody close to you? Was there some interesting times going on, some interesting changes in your life personally?
Well, there was a lot of upheaval going on in my personal life. I ended up losing my work. I was only doing sort of like casual work and at the time, and when I was working full time on the buses, then went into because it was getting too much stress, and you know it's a very stressful job, bus and coach driving, dealing with a lot of the members of the public, especially on transit work, you know. And I went into working sort of like casual. Like freelance with small little operators, and but I found that I was only getting sort of like, you know, bits and pieces of work here and there. So it was like, and also we had some issues with the place that we were staying at. Whereas like because I wasn't working enough, we got behind with our rent, and the landlady decided that she wanted us out, and also she tried blaming us for the disrepair.
So I'm absolutely interested in hearing about your contact, your onboard, experiences that you've had. What's the inside of the craft smell like? What do you have, what a lizard turd fart smell like? Like what's going on in there,
Well, the memories I had was that, I was shown actually, more than just sort of like the craft. I was actually shown where I was originally from, which I can't go into detail about because of the ones that basically forced us off of our home world. If they knew where our home world is now, it'd be, it'd happen again.
So you feel like you're hiding here?
I was actually brought here to actually experience, to learn, and to awaken humanity more to what was going on. Because a lot of humanity, stereotypically say all the reptilian races are evil. Because they have in their mindset that, what they've read on Google, what they, and all this about the royalty, British royalty, about the Nazi involvement with the, about the Pope, the Vatican and everything, the Masonic influences, the mind control, the Montauk projects and all that sort of stuff. They all put the blame at our doors, but what they don't realize is that there is more than one species, and the amount of times I've had to say to people, look, there's good and bad in everything, there's good and bad in animals, there's good and bad in people, there's good and bad in other beings, it's like how you can stereotypically say to, so if I turn around to you and said, without even knowing you, if I turn around to you and said, oh, you're evil, without any just reason, it's like, hang on, you don't even fucking know me,
Yeah, back off, bruv. Yeah, but it's interesting. I like your delineation because, we're not lizard cysts. Like, we get that there are different types of lizard folk out there, and then like some have got to be good, and in it for cool reasons. They just get a bad rap with all the lizard turds, as we refer to.
Yeah.
So you met an altruistic group, do you feel?
Yeah. I met what was referred to as benevolent beings, which basically, they're here to look over our planet, to stop, it's like, about all this business with CERN, they warned against what was going on with CERN, because CERN, they haven't got a clue what they're messing with.
Well, do you think they're doing a good job? The aliens who say that they're benevolent and here to interfere on man's betterment, do you feel that they're doing a great job at their job?
Yeah. I mean, they've already stopped missiles being launched and given a warning to the military.
The Holocaust, and they didn't stop World War II, and they didn't stop a lot of stuff. So it's interesting to think.
No. But there was a case of back then that there was a no interference, because the dark powers outweighed what we could do back then.
So do you think it's balancing out now? Go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, it's more than balancing out. It's we're actually getting to the stage where, you know, we have raised a lot of awareness now. You know, people are starting to wake up and to realise, you know, this has got us. Why do you think there's all these, people that, you know, why do you think this stuff happened with Miami Mall incident?
There's some interesting conversation to be had on that. Some people would say that the Miami Mall incident was to distract you from the fact that Chase Bank went bankrupt, and so it's going to affect markets and things like that. It also is another lead to, if you inverse the coordinates, it leads you to Antarctica,
exactly,
meaning that they may have beamed back from there, which that one's more fun. I'd prefer that, you know.
And that is the case.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that happened during that time period, and it's fascinating. And then the people who have the reports of what they saw.
I've actually got a couple of friends in the States. I can't remember which part of the States they were in. They're in now, but husband and wife, Peggy and Michael Jones. They've got a channel called Vets Coming Clean. They're ex-military veterans. Peggy, she was actually on base security, base police, basically, for the US Air Force. And in fact, she told me that she was actually stationed out in the UK for some time, for years ago, at a base called RAF Lakenheath, which is like 60 miles away from where I'm currently living.
Interesting.
And she was telling me about Antarctica, that they wanted her to actually go and work out there.
Oh. Well, that sounds interesting. So while Brandon is looking all these things up, I have a few questions too for you. I'm interested in, have you ever experienced some kind of sleep paralysis throughout your life? Maybe at one point in your life when you were younger, or?
I haven't had actual sleep paralysis, but I've had a couple of weird happenings when I was very young. I mean, I'm going back to, as I say, in the 70s, where the house that we were living in was an ex rented council house that my mum ended up buying off of the local council. They brought in this scheme where if you'd been a council tenant for X amount of years, you could actually buy your property from the council cheap. Anyway, but our house actually did not have any central heating system. All we had in the living room was one of these wood framed, it was a gas fire with like ceramic tiles inside, which glowed, you know, heated up and glowed. And we had metal frame windows, no double glazing back then. Now, there was one occasion where my mum always used to make my bed for me when I was a kid. She'd be, you know, especially in wintertime, it was like, you know, she'd put loads of blankets and loads of sheets on the bed to keep me warm at night, tuck them right underneath the bed. So it was like I had to literally shoehorn myself into bed, you know. And one time I remember waking up, and I don't know how the heck I happened to do it, but I was still, all the bedclothes were still tucked under the bed and everything. My head was facing where my feet should have been.
Okay.
And I'm panicking, and my mum came in, and she's like, "Where are you?" It's like, "I can't get out of bed. I can't get out of bed." And she's like, "Your head's down there. What are you doing? How did you get down there?" And to this day, I still don't know what happened there.
Okay. Do you think some kind of levitation happened or something like that?
Unless they took me and placed me upside down.
So this is
were
why
your clothes on backwards, and were they even yours? Your pajamas?
No. I still had my pajamas on, but as I say, instead of being the right way up, I was head down in the bed.
Yeah. So all the things could be related to what happened afterwards. So this is why I ask these questions. Hmm. Are you into out of body experiences? Have you experimented with it, or do you think you had an experience with that maybe by accident?
I have had when I was living at the time when I had the my first sighting and everything. There was one time where I actually I didn't know I blacked out. All I remember was coming to on the floor of the living room. My partner was on the phone to the paramedics. And I came to, and I was like, what's going on? And my partner said, you stopped breathing and everything. And I'd actually wet myself and, at the same time. But I came to and I was okay. And my partner was like, you need to go to, I said, I don't need any ambulance. I'm okay. And I was fine after that. It was just like, I'd literally stopped breathing and everything, apparently.
So you stopped breathing, your heart stopped beating, everything?
Yeah.
Damn.
For like a few seconds and then.
But you didn't get the ambulance?
No.
Okay. That's wild, man.
What do you feel was occurring while you weren't breathing? Do you feel like something that you left your body and that you were just out and nothing was controlling it?
Yeah, yeah. I felt like, when I came to, it was like literally, it was like zap. I'm like back there.
Did you have trouble moving, like any paralysis when you woke back up?
No. I just picked myself up off the floor and I had to go and clean myself up. But afterwards I cleaned myself up and, it was like nothing had happened.
So we already brought the reptilians into the game. So let me ask you this. Are you still in contact? Are you able to get in contact?
Yeah.
Some kind of power over you? Do you sometimes feel remote controlled or something like that? Or
I can actually channel.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
If they have anything to say while we're here, they're welcome to pop in. If they have messages for humanity, you can let them know that.
Yeah. I've got a ship that's always guarding me 24/7. The commander is a guy called Commander Garg, Garrgh, and then you've got. The chief engineer is Tarr, Tarrgh. And, basically, when I was on the craft, I remember being shown around everything. The propulsion systems, the cloaking systems, the replicating systems. Basically, I even got to actually control the craft by basically placing my hands on this pad and bonding with the craft.
When you say replicator systems, I'm thinking of those orbs that pop into being and then they split into two and then three and then five and then seven, right? Is this what you mean by this, that they're able to replicate themselves in physical reality and bi-locate?
No, this was like, on Star Trek where they have the replicators to replicate food, to replicate tools, whatever they need.
Got you. Okay, like it can build physical objects out of atoms, basically, that are utilized for the crew. Okay, got you. I thought you were saying, like, it replicates the whole damn craft and then it duplicates itself and that brings all sorts of new conundrums into it.
No, the craft is actually, like, it's how's the best way for me to the craft is actually, you know, it's semi conscious.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you felt that it was alive. We've heard a lot of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you feel that the craft has a consciousness to it? Do you think it's an AI-ran system that's conscious, or do you feel that it was maybe once a living being, or are you even able to distinguish the two?
It felt like, you know, it could communicate with you as you with it.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Interesting question, by the way, Brendan. I love the
question. Yeah, very interesting question, yeah.
This guy's interesting.
Love the all
this stuff is fascinating.
Yeah.
I was also shown, as I say, the propulsion system, which is, you know, you don't have like electrical generation, as in, like, you know, you don't have an alternator generator or anything like that. The power actually comes from crystals. They have these banks of like these purpley sort of, you know, crystals that are in banks that, you know, are shielded, and they provide the power for the whole ship.
So, Nigel, where are they located? Where are these reptilians?
Well, as I say, we originated actually from inner Earth. Before the dark forces took over outside of Earth, we were basically forced underground.
And when did that happen? Do you know when it happened?
You know, I mean, this happened many, many decades ago. I mean, you know, we were around in the days of, you know, the dinosaurs were still around. You know, it was like, you know, we were part of them.
So, there's sort of a bipedal offset of the dinosaurs from that time, and then maybe went underground.
We were more related to the dragons.
That's cool, because I've heard dinosaurs weren't even a thing, and that it was actually all dragons, and the dinosaurs are the psyop. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you were more related to a dragon at that point.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's interesting. There's so many questions in my head right now, because I remember, so since you told me you're channeling these guys, have you heard of the legend of the Zulu warriors in Africa? They talk about that there was a time before the moon was there. So the moon appeared like 16,000 years ago, something like that.
Ooh.
There's people that say that the big flood happened around that time. That's an interesting fact too, if it's a fact. I don't know.
And the fact too is that the moon isn't what it seems.
I agree with that.
If you've seen, there's a picture, I don't have it to hand, but there's a picture that depicts the moon as hollow with there's actually a craft inside.
Yeah, Alex Coyer talks about this, that the moon was a hollowed out planetoid that with a machine built on the inside of it and brought here. And that'd now, be a good way to sort of traverse.
I had a lot of things confirmed to me that I already, you know, in my mind, with the research that I've done since my first sighting back in 2014, I've been so far down the rabbit hole, I've seen the Mad Hatter. and basically, I watched, a friend of mine actually sent me a video of a MUFON symposium. And they were talking about this guy that worked for the military. He was I forget what the guy's name now is. He was a draftsman and engineer. And basically, he was given assistance from Nordics to create craft, like reverse engineer craft. And one of the, they now apparently, the military actually have the technology and the craft. And the technology they possess is, get this, 1,000 years ahead of what is current knowledge.
Minimum.
Yeah. And they have craft that can go to the center of our galaxy within 45 minutes. And also the Pentagon has a portal to the moon. They can go to the moon, have a meeting in the moon, and be back in 10 minutes flat.
Pretty wild. I've even heard that the moon is holographic in nature, and that maybe the flood that accompanied the appearance of the moon, because there is a couple of Chinese cultures in that time period as well that identified time before the moon and that it was brought here, or like you said, suddenly appeared. Then one could say that if this is a simulation, as you know, Jason Burmese talks about with the Phoenix cycle and things like that, where there's just a deluge every now and then maybe the faucets are turned on underground, and that the things that they're calling craters from meteor impact sites are actually just geyser points, and that's what fills this entire place and flushes this out. And then maybe in the next reset, there's a moon in the sky at that point. And whoever survived it, maybe you went underground, maybe you just sort of found a boat and rode the thing out. Then you explain now, hey, there wasn't a moon before. There's a shitload of water. Everybody's dead. And then now there's a moon. And then you could pass that on. Maybe it's similar to the way that this place works. And it seems to be more of a control system. And David Icke and everybody talk about this idea of the Saturn moon matrix, and that in near-death experiencers talk about they're taken to the moon or something like that. Or people on contact cases say their first trip is usually all the way to go around the moon and then come back, right, on a craft. So the moon plays an integral part in, I feel, that perception management in this place, no matter what, if it's a place you can go to or not.
Well, to be honest as well, I've been out at night doing some sky watching, and I've witnessed some way out of normal stuff, you know. I mean, I've even had crafts that, you know, I've seen sort of like about 14 craft within an hour and a half. I know we're on busy flight paths, but not that time of night and not that regular. And I've even witnessed lights that literally have turned on, like somebody's hit a light switch, and before I could get my camera out to video or take a picture, the lights just blinked straight out within like a split second. And I've witnessed as well on cloudy nights where you get that haze where, like, you can see the moon through the haze of the cloud. But I've actually watched where there's been the actual light from the moon, instead of the clouds moving, where the clouds have just been stationary, the light has actually moved through the clouds.
Yeah, more of a local luminary than a super far off there thing you can go stand on and drive a drive a go-kart on, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. Yeah.
I want to say this, since I talked about the Sulu and the moon legend, the Sulu also talk about that with the moon, there came reptilian beings. I want to say that. That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, also, what I will say is that, previously when I mentioned about my home world, the Dracos, the Alpha Dracos, which are the, for those that are watching that don't know, the Alpha Dracos are the ones that are the ones that are in the powers that be, the royalty, the government, the religious leaders, you know, like the Pope in the Vatican and everything. They're the ones that are, trying to control everything. their motto is buy, consume, obey. You know, they're the ones that are holding back everybody's, trying to hold back everybody's awakening, everybody's advancement, everybody's enlightenment. You know, and that's why basically I'm down here now to try and awaken more people, to, you know, spread the word, to, push for the disclosure of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. You know, I heard a few years ago that there were some underground rumblings, literally, not metaphorically, that explosions were being heard underground. There were then laser beams being seen sent from heaven somewhere, right? Not emanating from the ground, but coming from the sky that were then going underground, and then nothing would happen on top, but then explosions would follow, right? So there was these interesting sort of, again, wars seeming to go on underground. And then a couple of years ago, there was some huge announcements by people in the know that said that all the reptilians are gone. And then all the greys and reptilians had left the planet. So what did that look like, and what is the result of it? You know, because I haven't really seen a let up in the agenda. Like, are there still greys running around here and lizard turds that haven't gotten the memo yet?
Oh, yeah, they're still the hangers-on. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, there are... you know, for reasons that will become clear eventually, these last few that have got to be got rid of, it's not proving as easy as, you know, envisioned, you know. But, you know, obviously these last few are the ones that are still calling the shots at the moment. But within the next, we're now 2024. By the timeline is looking at between 25 and 30.
Yeah, I've heard some people say the Earth won't be here a year and a half, and it's done. They're frying it out, and they're going to get the people ready off, and the people who aren't, they get to hang out and burn or something like that.
No. The Earth will still be here, but it's going to be going through a massive change.
Yeah, like a reset, going deeper into the level or the simulation.
Basically, the last few will be got rid of, and then the benevolent beings will be coming down and healing the planet. You know, we're going to be going back to the days where everything was more lush green. You know, people are going to be going back to big scale farming. You know, we're going to be going back to the old school bartering system. And basically, you know, we're going to be living back off the land.
Let me ask you, because it sounds like this fifth dimension, third dimension split, this Armageddon, this Bible predicted sort of retribution that takes place, to where if you made good decisions in a certain light and based on a certain perspective, you're going to go somewhere else and life's going to be easy for you. If you made other choices in the opposite energy of that, it's going to be the opposite effect, right? It's going to be hard and challenging and all of those things. So do you think that that's what's occurring here? Is that this split that's been portrayed in the Bible and everything else, that and this Armageddon, this end of days and all of that, do you think that that's what's coming now? Or the opposite energy of it, do you think that that's a psyop, you know, to keep people sort of hoping that things are going to change in the same way that every generation in my family has said Jesus is coming back in my life, and that never did?
No, I mean, I know for a fact that basically the, you know, end of day scenario, it's going to be like Armageddon, it's going to be Mad Max, it's going to be Waterworld, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. That is not going to be the case. It is not going to be the case. That is in the programming to instill fear, instill panic. That is why the the alpha dracos is they, because they feed off of the fear, they feed off of the negative energy off of humanity, and that is why they're doing this. That is why it was foretold that all this Armageddon, and because the Bible and everything was created by the alpha dracos.
I could see that. Yeah, that's an easy jump. You know, and it's interesting, too, that it's been like this and that we've all been told that it's going to get better and that people are going to come help and just hang in there and all that kind of stuff. But do you think that that's a way of stopping you from being actionable and maybe making an actual change here is just to simply wait on somebody else to do it for you?
No, we are actually making active changes. My crew up there, it's not just the reptilians. There's other benevolent beings that the council, the federation. We are involved in. You know, people don't realize what goes on behind the scenes. You know, what we are dealing with on a daily basis.
I guess not. And the challenge is because we out here in the normal daily basis see that a lot of this shit could have been avoided easily or averted absolutely with anything honestly traumatic that occurs here, because it's simply they have the power to do it. And they've simply then at that point chosen not to. Yet there seems to be another force here that also has a lot of power that has had free run on this place.
It's like in politics, there's a lot of red tape, a lot of things that protocol allows us to do, and a lot of things that they've stopped us from doing.
I've heard that stepping occurs when karma is being violated, when sovereignty is being violated. Yeah. Okay, well, that seems to have been occurring here for thousands of years, if our history is accurate at all. So then how many thousands of sovereignty-bearing years are they able to put us through breaking that sovereignty treaty that should end immediately before somebody steps in? Like, what's the window of time?
But the thing being that the Dracos were more powerful than anybody else, and we could literally not they outnumbered us thousands to one. We could not do anything until now, where it's got to the point where we are basically kicking their ass now.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it, brother. Let's go. You know, swing by on that UFO and come pick me up sometime, man. I love to. I've got a play mix. Yeah. I've got actually a play mix on Spotify, a playlist that reads My UFO Mix with 3 X's. You guys can actually look it up, and that's what I'm going to jam in that UFO with you. I've already got a playlist ready to go. Dude.
Cool.
Awesome.
Love it.
Yeah, it's like, we are very cultured. I mean, I've got a very eclectic taste in music for one thing. You know, it's like I go right back to classical, up to electronic, new wave. I've been through all the music genres. The only thing I will say is I can't stand the Stock Aitken and Waterman crap.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Love it. I have the link in the chat there if you want to check it out, my friend. You can hop on there and take it for a spin. Let me know how it sounds through those UFO speakers.
Is this your own music or just a compilation?
It's just a compilation of some fun songs that I found on there that I could see myself driving, and I've titled it Exotic Craft Onboard Mix. So you can actually, while you're piloting your exotic craft, you've got the music to do so. You know, your soundtrack's covered.
I would check it out too. Thank you, Brandon.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So, I think with that said, we should wrap it up for today. It was a wild story, Nigel, but very interesting. Indeed. And I'm curious what the listeners will think about your story. So, guys, put your opinion in the description. You want to read it. So, yeah, like I said, I'm done with my questions, but Brendan, do you have something?
Got a million more, and it'll be a good excuse to do this again. So I'm looking forward to it, Nigel. Thank you so much, brother. This was awesome.
If anybody out there wants to add me as a friend on Facebook, my profile is Nigel MP. You can't miss me. My profile picture is a reptilian wearing a gold bling suit.
It's blinged out. Yeah, you have a royal lizard on there, and he looks awesome. Yep.
Yeah.
And also I'm starting up a YouTube channel myself. I've already done a couple of interviews with a couple of friends of mine, a guy called Les Durant, who's also a UFO witnesser. He's good also friend. Into paranormal.
He's joining us in Georgia. I met him in person 2 weeks ago. I flew out to Georgia for our event ahead of time. He's one of our speakers at our event. Yeah.
He's a country music DJ.
Love that guy. Yeah. He's great.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome, man. Him and his wife, Claudette, they are real good people. And I'm so jealous of where they live up in the mountains, 1,900 foot up.
Beautiful. We went up to their home and met them and their dogs and the stepdaughter and everything, man. It was great.
He was telling me like that. Basically, their landlord actually built that little cabin house from scratch,
and it's a huge wraparound porch way up in the mountains.
Yeah, I love it.
Windy,
it's like,
dirt,
you know,
road
covered
it's
against
gorgeous.
All the weathers, and they just sit out there and. Yeah, Les points his cameras. He's got a few old phone cameras that he just. Points up in the sky and let's record. And
I've had him on the show. Yeah, we have an episode and he walked us through visually. There's a bunch of videos and pictures he shares and stuff like that. Yeah.
He actually approached me to ask me how to communicate with them.
Damn, that's interesting. Well, if you guys want to come out and hang out with us, events May 15th through 20th, connect at expandingrealityexcursions@gmail.com and we'll get you info.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Nigel. Then... we're going to kick you out of here now.
Yep. Well, it's been,
we love you, dude. This was great.
It's been a pleasure. And, you know, it's been a pleasure to meet you, Brendan.
Same, brother. Yeah, it's brotherhood already. I'm grateful for your story.
Are you already
coming
on
forward.
My friends list?
Yeah, we've been friends for a long time. Daniel just does this. He plucks friends out that I've had for like a couple of years on there. And he goes, hey, have you ever talked to this guy? I'm like, no, but we've been friends for a couple of years. Let's do it. And here we are. Thank you, Daniel.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least I'm useful for something.
Brendan, we'll have to do some voice talking and catch up.
Yeah, absolutely. We're already buddies on there. I'm under Brendan Thomas. And just, hit me up on there, dude. I'd love that. That'd be great. Yeah. Daniel, thank you. This has been amazing.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure, Daniel.
You're welcome, guys. So, Nigel, like I said, I'm going to kick you out of here right now. Wish you an awesome rest of your Sunday. Thank you.
Yeah.
And... hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, brilliant.